My name's Stephen. I want to give you a very warm welcome here tonight. There'll be an opportunity during our next carol to give to the work of City Mission. It's not a guilt offering, it's just an opportunity for those who would like to be able to give to a work in the city that reaches out to those most vulnerable at this time of year. I want to just reflect for hopefully not too long, because I realise there's going to be children. They'll be my timer over to my right. Just a wee bit on that reading that John just read from the Gospel of Luke, the Song of Mary. And as I was thinking tonight, we said this theme a couple of months ago, thinking about Christmas, what we do, and I'm thinking, oh my goodness, this week, why on earth did I give myself a theme of joy? I better have a good week as I come here, because I've been schooled in the sort of Andy Murray school of joy. Do you know, it's there, but it's deep down inside, and I promise you it's there, but sometimes we just don't know how to express it. I was coming up just a few weeks ago, Paisley bus, train station, on the way home from a course, and I was kind of, I didn't realise this, but I must have been just kind of plodding my way up the steps at Paisley train station, and the girl at the top, who was the coffee kiosk thing right at the centre of the bus station, just kind of looked at me and said, oh, gee, you look happy. And only in Glasgow do people actually tell you what they think, by the way, that when they actually see something and interact. And I was just like, she's like, what's up? And I was like, well, nothing. It's actually my birthday, but that, you know, perhaps I should tell my face that. It's only I'm 35, it's not the end of the world yet. And as I was kind of reflecting on that, this is brilliant. Well, apparently even on my birthday, I find it hard to bring the joy to my face. So I'm going to try my best tonight as we think about this. But my little Paisley interaction reminded me, even in those brilliant Glaswegian moments, we have opportunities in small ways just to share a little bit of joy. It doesn't have to be a dramatic thing. It's often the small things that makes a difference. I went away a wee bit bouncier after that small interaction with the girl who just looked at me and said, why are you so miserable? There's something, of course, it's been said before, religion, you've probably heard this comment, this quote, religion is the opiate of the people. And sometimes, I guess, we do try to find joy in lots of different ways by distraction or religion at its worst, just immersing ourselves in this thing so that we avoid reality. Just surround ourselves with so many different things in our life. And sheepishly, as I came across that quote just this week, I thought to myself a wee bit on my worst day about sometimes how I parent. I've got a 5-year-old and a 3-year-old, and on a bad day, just on a bad day, what I tend to do, say one of them is having a bad day, they lose a toy, they break a toy, they cry, they fall. Of course, what my reaction is to do is to find something else, is to find another toy, another Kinder Egg toy, and if the day has just gone absolutely terrible, last resort, I will get in the car and we will do a McDonald's drive-thru, and the day will get better. And do not judge me, by the way. Every parent here does that just to get through the day. But sometimes that actually can be actually a dangerous thing. It's really interesting, because I was thinking to myself, as I reflected on the reading from Luke's Gospel of Mary's son, who's so filled up with joy, I was thinking, why was she so filled up with joy? Why was Mary so naturally filled up with joy? And what did the birth of her son have to do with the overthrow of this power structures and the government of the day? What on earth was going on in that story? And I discovered, strangely enough, in the Bible, joy is often found in really quite close proximity to pain and trouble. And rather than the tactics of distraction and find something else to do, the Bible actually often just confronts the brokenness, confronts the sadness, and addresses the pain. Mary's world at the time, it's not like she lived in a great moment of history, by the way. It had been a while in the Bible since God did anything. It had been a while since God had seemingly done or said anything good for the people of God. It had been a while since God had spoken clearly, acted powerfully. God, is there anybody out there? Is there any leading? Is there any guidance? What have you done with us? Is there anything to be joyful about? And to make matters worse, Mary lived in the dark days of Herod the Great. whose sort of casual brutality was backed up with the threat of Rome. This was the world that Mary lived in. I got in my notes, do not make a comparison to some of the leadership in the world today. Do not even go there. I wonder how our world compares today. Even as I was going over my notes last night, the news updates just come through about bombs in Turkey, or churches collapsing in Nigeria, hundreds, scores of people hurting. We can get saturated with the news and the state of our world in so many different avenues. And it's not just out there, it's as people homeless tonight in our city, hence why we have movements like Glasgow City Mission. There's people in trouble, there's children in our city who will go hungry tonight, who will be without tonight as we gather and as we worship and as we hear in a place of comfort. There are disparities in this city that cause joy, that bring pain. But also on a personal level, our world that we exist in, maybe it's just been a while since anything good has happened. Maybe it's just been a while since anything that we could actually get excited about, anything that we could actually celebrate. And maybe this year, the last word we can associate with this year is the word joy. It's just been one of those years, however it's played out. And if that's the case, I don't think you'd be alone here tonight. But Mary had a dream. And Mary had a song. And Mary even had a surprise in this story. Her dream was saturated in the hope of the prophets, the poets of the Bible, and the story that was contained in the Old Testament. And it was the ancient dream of Israel, a dream and a hope that one day, as all the prophets said, would come true, things would be put right. So much of the Psalms, the prophetic writings, speak of mercy, speak of hope, speak of the fulfillment of promise, speak of the reversal of evil, speak of a revolution even when God destroys the very power of evil, and of God coming to rescue, and at last coming to put the world to right. And this has just comes out so much in Mary's song. He's performed mighty deeds with his arm. He's scattered the proud. He's brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He's filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. A dream which scatters the proud, a dream which casts down the mighty, a dream where the hungry are filled. And notice in her song, this dream comes through. This idea is more than, Lord, just give me a spiritual pick-me-up. Just make my life a little bit better. It's, Lord, would you put this world to right? It's, Lord, would you not just restore my joy, but would you restore the joy in this town, in this city, in this world? It's an outrageous dream. It's an absolutely outrageous dream. Like God would restore not just people's spiritual lives, but would restore the world. And that's what Mary starts to dream of, and that's what comes through in her song. But it doesn't just remain a dream. It's not just an idea left on the shelf for Mary, because it comes forward in this song. This song that, honestly, it's really difficult when you're Northern Irish or Scottish to bring it across. It would have had a beat. It would have had a movement. She was rejoicing. Her soul was rejoicing in the Lord. I wish we could bring that to life. And so she didn't just have a dream. She had a song. And the difference was this. The song, a dream just can be something that stays on the shelf, something that I hope happens someday. But instead she had a song, and the song was driven with reality, that this was not a dream. The song was driven by a joy, and was driven by the idea that God was doing something now, in this world, in this time, and in this time, through the person of Jesus. And so she had a song because her dream wasn't just a dream that was something that would sit on the shelf, high in the sky till you die. Her song was motivated by the fact God was working now through Jesus in this time, at this time, just as he had promised, as she said. God was acting again. He was moving through Jesus. In the Bible, sometimes we have to wait for joy. His ways are not our ways. Sometimes his promises come through in strange ways, in strange timings. But for Mary, Jesus was worth the wait. But it wasn't just a dream and a song. There was a surprise in this story. My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he's been mindful of me, a humble servant of humble state. A Hebrew girl in her culture, the weakest of society, she was nothing. That God would use her. That God would draw her in and act through her. That she would be able to carry Jesus, the promised King, who would put the world to right. That she would hold him inside her. It's amazing. It's an amazing story. It's not the story that we would have probably written. It's not the way we thought Paul would have probably acted. She had a dream, she had a song, and she had a surprise. And it made me think about our dreams. What about our dreams? What are they? What would make us dream? What would make us, what would make you get off your seat and celebrate, write a song? Just, you know, throw caution to the wind and just be like, I am going to make a noise. I have something to celebrate. What about our dreams? I've sat with people this past year whose dreams have been shattered. Dreams have been broken. Dreams have been taken away. Sometimes just through things like ill health, through loss, or just health and burden down with the pressures of life, and dreams go by the wayside. And in any given day, we may look at the world and either laugh or just cry. But you see, the story of Jesus reminds us not to give up on our dreams. In fact, the whole season of Learning Christmas is just the beginning of the story. It's the beginning of the story that God said he's not finished. He wasn't willing just to leave the world broken and leave our lives broken and stand back and say, well, I can't do anything with that. The story of Christmas is actually the dream's still alive because there's a God who wants to come and put things right. What about our song? For Mary, this I said, the stimulus of her song of joy, the stimulus of this crazy celebration was the realization that God was acting now. God was on the move. God was doing something in this town and at this time. Could God be acting today? Could, in the very midst of our circumstances, your circumstances, however good or however low they may be, could it be that God is wanting to act? Could it be that Jesus has our attention? Could it be that he wants to get our attention? Could it be that Jesus wants to intervene and draw close? And could it be that Jesus is the answer to any pursuit of joy and satisfaction? But also, could there be a surprise for us too, just like there was to Mary? This song, it lacks something that you might think it would have had. He talks about his servant, the Lord has helped his servant Israel. He's brought salvation to Israel. We get that. We get the people of God were this group of special people who received God's blessing. But what we would probably expect to hear is a line, something about he helped his servant Israel and cut off the hopes of the Gentiles, because it was the people of God, the Jewish people, who were the blessed people. But in Mary's song, we find no such writing. All she says is that those who will be humble will be blessed. It's the proud and the arrogant who will be brought low. And it takes us to this idea that we find in the Bible. The whole way God is going to work, the whole way God set these things up, is not by those who are good enough, those who are born into this, those who are just the privileged people who get to come and say, I'm in with God, I have the truth. Mary says it's actually the people who come in humility. The people who will throw off their sense of I've got this and will admit their needs. And it takes us to this central idea within Christianity, this central idea that this is actually the life of Jesus, the ministry of Jesus is actually about grace. It's not about, can we figure this God thing out? Can we be the strong people who can get our way to God? It's actually God accepts the humble. He has revealed that in Jesus. You draw close to God by accepting your need of him. And so maybe there's a place for you and I. Maybe getting close to God isn't as torturous as we might think it'd be. Maybe it's less about what we could do and more about what's been done. So I guess for you and I tonight, for some of us it might be just simply this theme of joy. We may just need to wait. We can't change sometimes the circumstances of life. Maybe we just need to wait and dare to hope that God is faithful to his promises. Maybe we need to turn to Jesus. Surprisingly, we've never thought about it before. Instead of all the distractions that we may think we stuff down at this time of year, think this will make me happy, this will give me joy. Actually, strangely, you might actually think, really? Possibly could it might be something to do with this person, Jesus, here, now, today? Might you turn to him? But also, maybe it's something about sharing in small ways, in large ways. Maybe it's less about, is this Christmas something about us receiving our market share of joy? And just a little bit, like that girl in Paisley at the kiosk for me, just in small ways, could it be a little bit more, but can we share some joy in simple ways with other people? Could that bring joy in the city? The people we meet, is there a smile that we could bring? Is there a thank you? Is there a comment? Is there a hug? Is there a donation? Is there a bit of time? Is there a gift? Is there a space at your table just to bring a little bit of joy in a world that quite frankly lacks it so much? You see, I don't think Mary's joy was so pie in the sky till you die. I think the trials for Mary would go on. I think she's going to have a tough job bringing up Jesus, who was going to run off into the temple, who was going to get nailed to a tree. She was going to have many trials and tribulations. But the difference for Mary at this point in this time was, in a very fresh way, she was assured God was with her. God is Emmanuel. May we all with joy draw water from the wells of this salvation at this time of year. Shall I pray for us as we continue? Father, in small ways and in large ways, may we receive the joy that you would have to us. And in other ways, Lord, may you give us simple steps to share joy in this city at this time. We look to you and pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.